Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Great to have you with us on the program today. Isn't this a remarkable time? I mean, I am just stunned in some ways that the economic crisis that we're facing does appear to be a crisis of the greatest magnitude in a full century. And I don't know if you're reading about it or you're tracking with it or you're really keeping up with it and considering all the potential implications that we're faced with. But I've been tracking it very, very closely because I believe that God put a mantle on our co-founders, established that some years ago through Larry Burkett, who wrote The Coming Economic Earthquake in 1991, predicting a serious challenge in our economy on the level of a Great Depression. And then our other co-founder, Howard Dayton, believed that God made it very clear to him that sometime during his lifetime that the United States would experience a major economic upheaval. Well, I believe those days are upon us. Now, these may not be the days that our co-founders were speaking of, but certainly we're seeing some of the signs, some of the tremors. You know, if you read Larry's book, and I've read it closely, one of the things that he said was the first sign, the first major crack would be a number of large bank failures. Well, just last week we saw the failure of the largest bank in U.S. history, Washington Mutual. The FDIC took them over. And of course, they were sold overnight to J.P. Morgan, so they didn't cease operations in order to avoid a panic. But this was a bank worth $300 billion that was sold to J.P. Morgan for $1.9 billion. Now, that's a collapse. That's a complete failure. And on top of that, the second largest bank failure in U.S. history had occurred only months earlier when IndyMac had failed. So we've seen the two largest banks in the United States fail in the same year. So if that's not an indication that this crisis is enormous and that we're all faced with significant challenges, that's why I wrote an article that's now posted online at crown.org called The Economic Earthquake of 2008. And I hope that you listen to it. One of our faithful listeners just wrote to us and said she wanted to get that article to the presidential candidates. She said it was a shame that people had not read Larry's book back in the 90s and that she was blown away that we were continuing to warn Christians of the problems that we're faced with right now. We also had another listener write and said, well, Mr. Bentley, if the government came to you and asked you what you would do about this problem, what would you say? So today on Money Life, I'm going to answer that question. Stay tuned. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we're talking about the current economic crisis that we're faced with, a crisis that I believe is one on the magnitude of the greatest that we've ever faced in an entire century. I've been referring back lately a lot to Larry's book, The Coming Economic Earthquake. Listen to what he wrote back in 1991. He predicted that the first crack in the economy would be major bank failures, and he said they would be highly publicized and that those failures would cause many other small banks to fail, and that would require $1 trillion or more in additional government subsidies. Now, $1 trillion or more back then was almost unbelievable prediction. And look at the magnitude of the numbers that we're challenged with today to keep our banks solvent. It's almost exactly the number that Larry was talking about. And then he said, the government will be faced with one of three things. They will either have to implement new taxes to pay for it, borrow more money for the federal government to pay for it, or they'll just simply print more money. Take your pick. None of those options are going to be very comfortable. But today I want to answer the question that I got from a listener in Arkansas. She heard us talking about the economic earthquake. She heard us talking about this crisis. And she said, if the government came to you, Mr. Bentley, what would you say? And so today I want to talk about what I think the real answer may be. Because I've read almost all the major news releases about this problem and the solutions that are being proposed. And here's one major glaring omission. I haven't seen God mentioned anywhere. I've not seen anybody talk about God. It's as if he's been left completely out of the equation. I haven't heard it mentioned in any forum, in any context, that maybe God could help. So I put together 7 steps that I think that if the government came to me and said, Mr. Host of Money Life, what are your ideas? Here's what I'd say. I'd say, first, our national leaders are not calling on the help of Almighty God. It's as if our political leaders, our financial gurus, and all of our media pundits have forgotten that this problem will never be truly solved unless there's a time of prayer and repentance from the greed that has brought us to this point. And when you see members of the U.S. Congress saying this problem was caused by greed, that's probably a pretty obvious indicator that greed is behind it. But we've come to this point because we have all lived beyond our means. And when we talk about repentance, it's not to stand in judgment on anybody, but it's to say, let's be honest about it. We've gotten ourselves in trouble. So I'm calling for a grassroots movement of Christians into a time of 40 days of prayer and fasting and repentance beginning October the 14th through November the 23rd. And this will be a time that we call upon God and we ask for his favor, we ask for his wisdom, we ask for his intervention in the lives of our current leaders, and we ask for his divine guidance on those who will be elected on November the 4th. Because those are the people, whoever that may be, that will be in charge of managing this crisis during an incredibly difficult time. This will be a time for each of us as believers to bow before the Lord Almighty, to return to him and to repent and to entreat him to help. You know, when he appeared to Solomon, he said, if I ever shut the heavens so there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. You know, I would call for us to believe that, to truly act upon that promise from God, a promise he made to Solomon, that when we saw these dangerous times, that we as his people would go before him and ask his help. I would call upon political leaders, church leaders, ministry leaders, all committed believers around the world to join us. That we're not trying to organize a program. We're not trying to organize a campaign. We're not trying to take over the government. But we need to go into a time of genuine prayer, self-denial, and repentance and ask God to help us. This 40-day period I'm calling for would be a time not only of fasting and prayer, but be followed by a week of thanksgiving and praise. It would end on the Sunday as the week of thanksgiving began. And that would be a week that we exalt the one true God who has entrusted so much to us. You know, Thanksgiving of 2008 should be a time around the banquet tables all across America that prayer and gratitude take on new depth and new meaning, that it becomes more important than the entertainment venues or choices of the day, that it becomes more important than just having a big ceremonial feast. Even our decorations this year should reflect upon the sacrifice that those who came before us were willing to make to give us this great nation, to entrust it to us. And then following that week of gratitude and thanksgiving, I would proclaim that Sunday, November the 30th, would be the National Day of Generosity, a day when all across America, generous giving would occur like never before. I would pray that unlike a Super Bowl Sunday, which in our countries become the largest single day of gambling each year, that the National Day of Generosity would be the opposite. It would be the largest expression of love and sacrifice and genuine thankfulness to God who has given us so much. And I would pray that our churches would experience new levels of giving, that ministries would receive help that they so desperately need right now, that missionaries would receive unexpected relief, that single mothers would be blessed by answers to their prayers, that neighbors would be shocked to receive generosity from other neighbors, and that we would simply say, I'm grateful to God who has given me so much. I would pray that it would be a pivotal day in this crisis. There would be a shift in what we truly value and honor in our culture, that we would shift away from excess to sacrifice, from entertainment to service, from self-absorption and hoarding and fear to love and giving and charity. You know, the real antidote to our economic woes lies in our own hearts. It lies in our belief. It lies in return to our value. We must repent of the sin of thinking that money is the solution to our problems and placing our hope in money. And we must back that up by our actions. That's why we're forming a website around this plan. So beginning Tuesday, October the 14th, I invite you to join us. Get in a community, in a neighborhood, in a fellowship of believers who want change, real change, grassroots change, a change from putting more false hope in a government policy, a bailout plan, or a new candidate because they all have feet of clay. We need change from trusting in our wisdom to trusting in divine wisdom. When we come back, I want to talk about more steps in the plan that I think will truly solve this crisis of a century. I'm Chuck Bentley. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't to make more money. It's to learn to manage what God has already given you. And we have something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes. Crown Envelopes from Crown Financial Ministries is one of the most advanced money management systems ever. Crown Envelopes will help you easily create a home budget online and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you exactly how much you have left in any budget category. Crown Envelopes gives you access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today I've been responding to a very simple email question that I received from a listener in Arkansas who said, well, Mr. Bentley, after all this input on the fact that we're in an economic earthquake, if the government came to you and asked you what you would do, what would you tell them? And so I'm stepping up today and answering that question. I said in the first part of the program that we've omitted God from the equation. It's as if he's not present. I can't imagine if we were going into war in some other form of battle that we would not invoke the Lord God Almighty and ask for his protection, ask for his wisdom, to ask for his help, to call upon him as a nation, and to ask for our hearts to be turned back to him. And so I'm calling for a time of 40 days of fasting and prayer and repentance beginning in October. And when we truly humble ourselves before the Lord, and then culminating in a week of thanksgiving and gratitude, praising the God who gave us such a great country, calling upon him again, and then culminating after the week of thanksgiving in a national day of generosity, where we go contrary to the panic and the fear that's in the air today, that as Christians we say we're going to trust God and we're going to be generous to all the works of the Lord, because every one of them is in need right now. Every ministry leader that hears this program, every pastor, every missionary would say, yes, that's what we need. We need to protect the work of God during this time. It cannot shrink or contract. God has to go forth in a time of crisis. His word has to go forth. So our first step would be to turn to him. The second step I would call for an emergency economic recovery plan for all American citizens. And I would say it has to begin now. For every American to rally to get their personal house in order as quickly as possible. It's a sense of urgency to change our behavior, to change the way we manage money. If I were a political leader, I would call upon and ask for the trust and the power and the capacity of the massive volunteer efforts of the American people. You know, we're a resilient people. Throughout history, we've faced adversity and overcome it, and we're willing to do our part in any crisis. But we must be honest. We have to explain the risk that we face and how to be prepared if we are going to be called upon to endure something like another Great Depression. And we must show the world that what holds us together is not our political system, as great as it may be. And it's not capitalism, as great as it may be. And it's not even democracy that's made this nation so great. But it's the motto printed on the back of our currency, "In God we trust." And our currency will have little or no value to the rest of the world if we turn our back on the God who made this nation great. And our real economic recovery, the real recovery that's needed, is a return to believing the biblical values that we hold dear. I would call it the new American dream, learning to live within our means. That should be the new American dream. When did we quit living that way? When did we buy into the lie? You know, God warned us in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you've eaten and are satisfied, and you've built good houses and you've lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. And it shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God." God is telling us that we must honor God with our wealth. And this can be measured. Giving is a tangible benefit to the giver and the receiver. And it's a way that we honor God, and it should replace government dependencies. We're to take care of each other as the believers do their part. The Lord taught us to save, but not to hoard. And our vulnerability is exponential right now, not just because our government has excessive debt, but because our citizens do too. We've lost our core value of being thrifty, of self-denial, of delayed gratification. And I'm calling on us to embrace a change in our mindset, to get out of debt, to get out of debt for our houses, to get out of debt for our cars, debt for our furniture, debt for our college, debt for our pizza, debt for tickets to the concert. When did that become so important to us that we couldn't save money to buy those things? I'm calling on us to invest wisely, to get rid of our gambling mentality, to get rid of our idea that a rainy day will never come, and to live within our means, to improve our margin so that we can reduce our stress and create capacity to help others. I would ask for our church leaders, our business leaders, and all those in the educational sector to implement a program that leads the way, to stop waiting and expecting someone else to solve the problem or someone else to be our caretaker. Real economic recovery will take place at the grassroots when we return to our values. And I would call upon the people of this nation to return to the values that have made this nation great. You know, we've been standing back watching. And as I look at all the things that happen through Scripture when there is a crisis, almost every time a man of God would appear and the wisdom of God would be implemented and acted upon, and there would be a divine intervention into the circumstances of man. And this is a time that we need to be the ones leading the way, the people of God, who say our hope is in Jesus Christ, who can turn back any problem. He's the one who will deliver us. Well, I've got more on this topic when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible. Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today I've been answering the question, if the U.S. government came to me and asked me what would I do to solve the economic crisis of a century, what advice would I give them? And I've been pouring my heart into that because I've asked God what it is that's really missing. And I said in the earlier segments that the most glaring omission is that we're not calling upon the Lord God Almighty who birthed this nation and made it great. We're not calling upon Him and asking Him to be a part of it. So I would call for 40 days of prayer and fasting, which in fact I'm going to do, and call on the citizens of this nation and the followers of Christ to humble themselves before God and ask for His hand to be upon us to heal the economic crisis that we have. And in step two, I would lead us back to the biblical values that we hold dear, that we would honor God with our resources, that we would learn to save, to get out of debt, and to live within our means. And step three, I would call on the responsible citizens of this country to reverse the order in our nation. Instead of waiting and watching what's going to happen in Washington, D.C., that we would take a stand ourselves to go counterculture, that we would lead the change and ask government to respond to what we want. I would support measures that create accountability for government officials, that they must keep our federal, state, and local governments fiscally responsible. How can we demand change from them when we reflect back to them the same lack of self-control that we're asking our government to have? We must lead the way. Support those things that shape our society and our culture, that advance truth and beauty. And in these coming days, we should not sit around and wait to be led. We have a shepherd. We have a master. We have a savior. We have a deliverer. And we can go to the one who knows the answers. And we can ask for him to intervene. And then we can implement his truth in our lives and say to those in charge, whether it's in your community, whether it's in your state or leading this nation, we want people who will lead according to those values that we hold dear. Well, I've written four more steps into this plan if I were asked, and you can find that at crown.org. And let me tell you, I haven't been asked. I'm only a man, but I believe that I'm a man that understands that throughout biblical history, when nations or people were faced with this type of challenge, they turned to God. And that's what I'm calling us to do. I pray that you'll be inspired to go on that journey with us. We'll soon post a website about this journey with some of these steps and plans that I think will make a difference. And I'm asking you to go along on this journey, to be a leader right now, to stand up and see our culture changed according to biblical values. That's the solution that will create a real and lasting and permanent change from the crisis that we're faced with. Well, I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll keep you informed on this topic in the coming days. You've been listening to Money Life.